Welcome into another episode of the Shooter's Touch podcast, where we shoot to score and we shoot to win. But more importantly, we try to bring you stories connecting hoop culture here in Iowa, and we think we got another good one for you today. We bring on Truman State guard Turner Scott, formerly of West Des Moines Valley, state championship run in his senior year. Turner comes on and just shares a lot of fun stories about growing up, being an absolute bona fide killer. He's kind of the humbled assassin. He won't admit to it, but this guy from a very young age loved the game, and you could tell, and had that winner spirit and that winner mentality, and which allowed him to play on a lot of good teams and a lot of people to gravitate around him, but also have a very successful career both in high school and at the college level. I had the fortunate ability to be able to coach Turner as an eighth grader. We talked about it on the pod, but all of maybe 4'9", and was just out putting in work, getting buckets. I mean, he was a coach's dream at the point guard position, that's for sure. And so we reminisce a little bit about that, have some fun, talk about their most recent run at Truman State, getting into the Elite Eight, and how that went for him, and you know what he's planning on doing now and what the future holds for him. And so we hope you enjoy it. Again, this is Shooter's Touch podcast. We bring to you Turner Scott, Truman State.
I got the shooter's touch, can't nobody shoot like me. Fourth quarter down three, need a 2-and-1, better call on me, better call on me. If you know you need a shooter, I'm ice cold like a cooler. Get you right though, I can tutor this, that mic flow, I'm a hooper. I got blue faces on...
Welcome to the podcast, Turner.
Oh, thank you guys, pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man, we're excited to have you. Excited to connect with you. Obviously, we'll get to our background and a little bit of where that's at. But so how are things going? You're a couple weeks removed now from playing. When I first reached out to you, you said you had a little paper that you had to get finished up. So class is still going on, still trying to finish this semester, huh?
Yeah, I don't have that many classes, but like it was just a crunch with because we played longer in the season than we normally do. So back on a few classes, but knocked out the papers and I'm good to go now for the rest of the semester.
Well, good, man. And so I'll get to enjoy maybe more so than ever the last few months or few weeks here than of your senior season.
Yeah, I'm excited for the last month too, especially with no workouts.
It's definitely a liberating time, that's for sure. And I'm sure one that you will enjoy. And if the weather stays like what we've had here lately, it'll make it even more fun. And so, well, with that, let's we always start in the background and try to get kind of where sports and specifically basketball kind of came into your life. And so obviously I picked up with you at eighth grade, and we'll get into that. But how early do you remember starting to dribble the orange ball around?
Shoot, too young. I remember like my first organized game, I think, was probably kindergarten or pre-K. So like I started out young, and I mean, it was always one of the first sports I played, that in baseball. So yeah, I'm playing as long as I can remember.
And I feel like I can't remember who or what, but one of the stories that I had heard, and you might have to help me with this, is I think it was in third grade that you had some situation, something happened in a third grade basketball game. And then I think you proceeded either next time you played that team or later something, you went out and hit them for like 40. You have any idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It was the all Iowa attack program. We played them and we got destroyed the first time we played them. Like we might've scored 20 points and lost 60-20. But then the next time I definitely had a better game. I was hitting from deep. So that always helped.
And that was a school team.
No, so it was just a group, like just players that we put together. Nice. Just like it wasn't even my school too, because it was mostly, so I mean, I went to Valley, so public school, but the rest of the kids were all Catholic school kids. So like I grew up playing with mostly Catholic school kids, even though I was public school.
And you played Kingdom Hoops then as well, right?
That was in, I think I started middle school, maybe sixth grade. So okay. Yeah, so I started Kingdom Hoops back in middle school.
So organized basketball from a super young age. Obviously you had your own drive and motivation as well, but as far as the development for your game, how big of a role do you think being able to have that level of competition at a young age played in your development?
I think it was pretty big for me too, just because I mean I loved the game early on. Like I always loved the game, so it was more just like being able to play and go play against people too. And one thing I will say about like those early experiences, I played under pretty good coaches. So like, that just makes it easier for me just from a development standpoint, even then when you're not even really worried about development, you're just kind of playing for the fun of it.
Yeah. And I hope you're referencing me as one of those good coaches, those good coaches you played for. Yeah. And so then trying to piece this timeline together a little bit, when so Coach Horner then obviously got to Valley and he put together the Impact program, and which was, you know, for lack of better terms, essentially his feeder program. Mm-hmm. Did you play as seventh graders, or when did that team that you had, your school team, kind of start to come together and play?
So because I was playing with Catholic school kids growing up, I actually didn't start playing with any of the kids I'd play with in middle school or high school until about, I think I joined the Tar Heels, which was like the West Des Moines public school team. And then I think I started playing with them in seventh grade, I want to say. And then I think Impact started in eighth grade. So then started playing with them seventh, and then the Impact opportunity came up in eighth grade. So we just kind of switched the name from Tar Heels to Impact. And then obviously we had you as our coach instead of one of the dads. So we upgraded there. Actually, maybe not. Don't tell Pete Connors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's my guy right there, too. But no, I agree. I mean, obviously, like I said, from that feeder program, what Horner was trying to do, and the ability to come in and, you know, a good group of guys, which we'll get to how you guys obviously ended your career the way you guys wanted to together. But yeah, so coming into that Impact, you know, again, a school club, you know, obviously we were up at Kingdom competing, and you were pulling double shifts. I know a lot of weekends you'd come and play for us, and then you would go and play Kingdom as too, and kind of bouncing back and forth. Credit to you, because you always seem to put us and your classmates and teammates in the first chair when it came to picking on that. But so for our listeners, how tall do you say you were when you were in eighth grade?
Not tall. I don't even know, but I was
4'9" maybe. Yeah,
maybe, like on a good day. And then skinny too, so I didn't have any muscle. I was just out there.
So yeah, so 4'8" and a half, 4'9". But I still say, I mean, it was stepping on the court. I mean, you had the killer mentality. Came with it. And I had several coaches afterwards be like, hey man, that little number 10 that you got there, like he was the best player on the court. And so it was a lot of fun, and obviously a good crew with Pete and John and Quentin. We won a lot of basketball games that winter.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good group, so, and it was fun too. Like, we had a bunch of good guys that worked hard and just liked kind of being around each other.
Yeah, that's something too, the storyline that you guys carried throughout your career. Obviously, some of those guys, John, you know, football player, you certainly not big enough to play football, but you did anyway. You guys just liked being around each other. And so you continued to, you know, stay with each other and have fun. And I think that's ultimately what got you the goal you guys wanted at the end. But I remember, it's funny too, and you might have to help me. We ran into that Ankeny team. Had some dudes on there too, that was always our toughest battle. It's funny, and then obviously watching you guys, your career develop, but you know, we stayed pretty local, but we ran into a lot of really good talent.
Yeah, I think just like Central Iowa in general has pretty good talent too. And because I mean all the suburban schools nowadays are like pretty good. I've been staying a little bit up to date, but I'm not as fresh as I used to be on it. But like, there's good talent in Central Iowa, so there's always players.
Always players, and CIML is obviously always very competitive, year in and year out. And so, like I said, obviously we had a lot of success that eighth grade year. And then you go into high school basketball your freshman year. Actually, I want to back up real quick, is because start of our eighth grade year, you hurt or tore your rotator cuff. What was the deal? You got hurt playing football. I can't remember. What was it?
I don't even remember that. I might have broke my wrist. That
there were, I think you broke. So
I've had a few injuries, so I don't.
Here's why you're not supposed to play football. I think, yeah, you broke your wrist or something the year before, and then your eighth grade year, you hurt or tore your rotator cuff. Because I remember the first tournament we played in at Southeast Polk, you couldn't even lift your right arm above your head, and so you were shooting free throws left-handed and diamond everybody out left-handed. And then Coach Horner came over. after the game and was starting to get after you for not dotting some of those guys, and you're like, he's like, oh, that's right, you can't even lift your arm. But typical Horner wanting you to bust on these guys. But and so yeah, that was obviously a lot of fun. And then you get it to the freshman level, and when was it you hit a little growth spurt? Was that in between your sophomore and junior year, or take us a little bit through your high school basketball experience?
I don't know if I hit much of a growth spurt, but I think I got to finally like my height now, 5'10", around my maybe junior or senior year, but I was still tiny. Like I was 140 weight wise. So like I didn't have any muscle, but I think, yeah, I was probably, when I started varsity sophomore year, I was probably still about 5'8". So maybe even a little shorter than that, but I was tiny. I had no muscle at that point.
And you slowly get built, so you could tell you got in the weight room, and obviously I know you as a hardworking kid as well. But so what do you remember as your sophomore year, then getting your first varsity experience, and do you remember who it was against?
No, I don't even. I just remember more the end of that season, because we weren't very good, honestly. Like we were just a little bit above 500, and then in sub-state we beat Centennial to go to state, which we played them earlier in the year, and they might have 30 balled us. So it was one of those situations where we weren't that good of a team, but we just kind of got hot at the right time too. But it was something too, where, because we kind of had a few guys that were younger, so it was me, Quentin started as a freshman, and then Carlo played as a sophomore. So like we were just three guys too that just got better as the season went on. And then obviously like our senior leadership was pretty good that year too, and we had some guys that could go as well. So
Who were the seniors that year, your sophomore year?
So that would have been like Trey Mitchell, Tyce Mason, Connor Legrone, Luke Umble, Tyler Williams. So we had like some guys that had played, you know, organized basketball for a long time, and we were pretty athletic too. And I think that's really what helped us, despite me at the time being like pretty unathletic too. So,
well, in your, that's what I was going to say. I mean, just from those senior leadership, obviously some football players and some just pure athletes in there. And then, yeah, obviously you and Marlo and Quentin, you know, more on the skill side of things as you guys move through. And then your junior year, what do you remember about your junior year? And then you kind of obviously taking a little bit more on your shoulders as you stepped into that junior role.
Yeah, I think the difference between sophomore and junior year now was it became like I was the best guard on the team. Whereas my sophomore year, like I kind of earned my way to the starting lineup, but I wouldn't say I was still like the guy yet from the guard perspective. Like I could make the right plays and stuff like that. But my junior year, I kind of became the guy from the guard standpoint, and Q kind of became the guy down low. And then we also had some seniors still that were pretty darn good that helped too, but there's just a difference between being one of the guys versus being the go-to guy.
Yeah, that's always a big transition. And you mentioned obviously Quentin, he got bit like strong. It would be right around there, probably in from that sophomore, or because he's a year younger. So yeah, his freshman into a sophomore year, you could tell that he put in a good summer. And then obviously going into your guys' senior year, what was the expectations like to start your senior year at Valley? You know, for you, obviously personally, I would imagine that you had championship on the mind, but was that the entire mindset around the program, or what were you guys thinking going into your senior year?
I mean, yeah, for us is basically title or bust. Cause at that point too, our initial goals, like our class goals, was to win a state title in football and basketball. And then obviously, cause we, I mean, that whole group basically played football. So we lost football, and I was like, shoot, like we kind of have to win back. Like we got to get one. So yeah, that switched the mindset.
And so going into that year, hopefully you can help me a little bit with this. It wasn't like you were overpowering people throughout the year. I mean, obviously you guys had been building this reputation of kind of just slowly gaining, you know, and getting better, but you had a coaching change, right? Because Horner left after your junior year.
Horner left after my sophomore year. So my junior and senior year, we had Coach Windhorst.
Okay. And so BJ came in. That's right. And so BJ came in your junior and your senior year. And so, yeah, so you had, not only were you stepping up into more of a leadership role your junior year, a little bit different system and mentality there. And then how did, remind me how the junior year ended, I guess, before we get too far into the state championship run, but what do you remember about who you lost to in your junior year?
So we lost to Waukee in the sub-state final. I think it was the sub-state final, but that was back when they had Jacobson and Nelson. So they just had 2 6'7", 6'8" guys that they could throw at us, and we just couldn't, we were too small. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Now it's coming back to me now when you bring it up, but so then senior year, like I said, you guys were, obviously expectations for you guys were pretty high in what you wanted to do, but, What do you remember about your senior year and kind of that run leading up until sub-state?
This is kind of random, but the game that sticks out the most to me outside of like postseason was actually the Pella game against a 3A school, because we almost lost to Pella at home. And like, we were like, we can't lose this game because this is going to look horrible on just 4A basketball in general. But like, those guys were super tough and like they played really well together, but we found a way to win. But that was the game, I'd say, in the regular season that stood out. But we started out the year pretty well, but, and those are always like the scary times too for, I feel like, any football player, because you're kind of easing your way, not even easing your way into basketball, but like you just haven't touched a ball as much as you'd want to. So it's always those first couple games are pretty scary. But then I think we won most of our games, and then towards the end of the year, we actually like dropped a couple in a row. So we had kind of like, we weren't limping into the playoffs, but we were limping a little more than we were used to.
Well, and I feel like you had a few injuries. Did Q get hurt? Or I feel like at some point in there, you might not remember specifically, but I feel like you had maybe a few injuries there late, and trying to figure that out. And then you get into the playoffs. And I remember I was at your sub-state game. It was at Grimes, but why don't I remember who you played? Who'd you guys beat to go to state?
I think it was Centennial.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure it was one of the Ankeny schools for sure. I want to say it was Centennial.
And that was a good game. Obviously you guys played well, and I don't remember a ton about it. Like I said, other than me being there, I remember you guys kind of were in, it felt like in control, but I know it was a close game too, and kind of came down the stretch. And then obviously you guys get the berth to state and feel pretty good about it. What do you remember about the state tournament bracket and when seedings came out and those matchups for you?
I just remember we didn't want to play Dowling first, because I think that was one of our losses. But then we were also like, dang, we already played these guys twice, because at that point you kind of want to play someone different. But we got Dowling first round. And then, but at the same time, we were confident we could beat them, just because, I mean, we, you know how those two schools are. I mean, you know each other so well. So, and like I said, like I grew up playing with the Catholic school kids. Like I knew them pretty well. But so we beat them actually. It was a close game, but like I feel like we handled that game pretty well. Like it was kind of always in our favor. And then second game we played Pleasant Valley, which that was, I'm not a big fan of how Pleasant Valley plays, just because they play so slow and so like they're really good defensively, but they just pack it in. And then that whole situation with us holding the ball, but it's like, you guys were doing that the whole game, and then we get the flack for it at the end. But, and then finally, yeah, beating West in the final.
Yeah. And so then you get to the finals in Iowa City West. And that would have been Connor McCaffrey, right?
Yep. Devontae Lane, Wally Parks, Tanner Lowhouse, those guys.
Yeah. And so that team was loaded. And then obviously you guys came in and it was close. I remember it being close. It was back and forth. It was kind of a little bit of, you know, I felt like you guys are probably in the underdog role with that game. It's still kind of this West Des Moines team. It's honestly, it's hard for me to ever think of Valley as an underdog, but you guys were definitely an underdog in that game, but came out victorious. And like I said, to kind of put a cap on what sounded like a goal pretty early on for that group of guys. Guys in which that you had grown up with, played a lot with, played multiple sports with. And so what do you remember about that night, getting that victory and kind of putting a good exclamation point on a good high school career?
Yeah, it was just, it was really fun too. And we honestly didn't even do much because actually like our senior class, like some of us, we went on spring break right after. So like we were like basically won the ship and then we were getting on a plane the following morning. So like it was like boom, boom. And then you're out of the country. So
that's all right.
That was honestly the best, probably the best way to cap it off too.
Yeah. I was going to say that's not a bad way to go about it. So be able to bounce out a little bit and then relax and enjoy it and then come back and enjoy it some more with your classmates and your peers. And so that's great, man. Like I said, it was fun to watch and see you guys finish the way I knew that you wanted to. But so then transition time comes and you have to pick a school. What do you remember about the recruiting process? How'd the recruiting process go for you? And then ultimately, how did you land on Truman?
So me personally, like I didn't really enjoy the recruiting process that much. Like I don't like being called a bunch and stuff like that. And then also like just with the whole visits, like because I was in football season, kind of when my like, cause senior year fall was kind of when most of my like recruiting was really like starting to kind of not heat up almost, but I had a few D2 offers. And then I was like, well, where am I going to take these visits in football season? So it's like, I didn't really want to miss football season cause I thought our team had a chance to win state. So I basically ended up only visiting two places, and that was Truman, which Truman was my first offer and first visit. So like Truman had been with me in my junior year too, so they were always the ones that were kind of standing behind me. But then Concordia St. Paul, so I visited there and they offered one of my really good friends who played for Dowling, Ted Brown. So just like I really like the idea of going to play with Ted up there. But then basically what it came down to was my offer at Concordia, like I hadn't decided, I was still kind of 50-50 between both, but then my offer got pulled at Concordia because someone else committed. So I was like, all right, well, Truman State it is, which just made it easier on me. But, and then now obviously that was the best thing that could have happened.
That's awesome. Who recruited you? Who was there as the coach at Truman?
So Chris Foster, he was here for my first 2 years, but then he went to McHenry and actually just got hired at Drury.
Drury, yep. So,
yep. Awesome. And then can't remember because his one of the assistants that helped recruit me too, but he's a Davenport guy. I can't remember his name.
I know I can't but, remember his name either, but yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I actually played with Chris at UNI. So I follow Chris pretty closely. And yeah, he just got the job at Drury, which is awesome for him. All right. So he picked Truman, headed down to Missouri. You get on campus. Let's just maybe talk about the first couple months. What's the biggest transition in your mind for that first couple months from high school to college ball?
The speed, I'd say probably the speed and the pace was just the biggest thing for me too. I think that's everyone going in. Also, because we had some pretty good guards ahead of me too. So like I kind of had a little bit of a reality check as well. Just kind of like, oh, like I'm not that good anymore. So there's definitely a change there. But yeah, and then I redshirted my first year too. So like I was just became the biggest difference for me freshman year was just the mindset of like being ready to play versus being a practice guy, which I think that's kind of, I mean, you kind of know what it went with as a redshirt. So just, I think it's like a different mindset that if you don't do, you don't really appreciate what it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. And obviously going through the redshirt year, I mean, it's a tough year, you know, for anybody who doesn't have that mindset, you know, for you and for me and, you know, for people who are used to playing, it can be pretty taxing on you mentally, you know, not preparing for a game, but preparing for practice to prepare the players to play for a game. you know, it's just a different mindset. And not to mention, you know, you're lifting more weights, you're doing more workouts than everybody else. And, you know, and that type of thing. So what would you say, you obviously redshirted, what did you need to work on the most in that redshirt year?
It was probably my shooting. Cause so I tore my labrum senior year of football. And then I didn't get it fixed, finished out football. Well, I took a month off, but like I didn't have surgeries. Like I rehabbed it and everything, but then played basketball. And then since then, my shooting wasn't as good as it used to be. And I don't know why, because it's my left arm too. So it's kind of weird that you'd think it wouldn't matter. But so I had to improve my shooting. And then honestly, just seeing the floor better and kind of knowing the offense and just like point guard duties and what I needed to do and what was expected of me.
Yeah. Obviously coming in as a freshman from high school, there's a lot of things that a lot of kids need to work on, but knowing that coming in definitely helps when you're going through a redshirt year. So after redshirt year, obviously get the opportunity to play. What was your role on the team? Coming in that redshirt freshman year.
So redshirt freshman year, it was kind of up and down for me. My first game, I sprained my ankle. So I started first game ready to go, like come out pretty aggressive. Like I was 0-2, but like felt like I was playing decent, but then rolled it bad enough where I missed the next two games. So basically like wasn't really with the team the first three games from a playing standpoint, and then came back, played the next couple weeks, but it just wasn't 100% yet. So like I wouldn't say I got the start that I wanted, because like I felt like I could have played better, but then it is what it is at that point too, because you're kind of in the season. But then I got healthy again, started, wasn't playing that well. Like I just, like, and I know like I didn't deserve to start, so like I didn't start for a few games, and then I'd start a few games, wouldn't start, and then towards the end of the year, the kid that started above me when I wasn't starting got a concussion, so then I was kind of thrown back into the starting spot. But it was just an up and down year. I didn't have that get a number. Well, I mean, my numbers were pretty consistent my first couple of years, but like, I just wasn't where I needed to be.
How did that season end as far as team?
Which our team, that being said, like for me, like we were still a successful team. Like we had some guys that could go, like we had Velke, Zach Fisher, Broderick Thomas. So we had guys that could really hoop. But we lost first round of the national tournament, got second in our conference. So it was definitely like still a successful year for us.
Well, good. Yeah. And so then moving into sophomore year, when did Horner come in? Was that sophomore year?
This would be the year that Horner is our coach now, and Foster first year gone.
Gotcha. So obviously you played under Coach Horner before. I guess excitement that he's coming in, I'm sure. Was there any conversations with you before he was hired, or did he wait until after it was announced? And then obviously you knew after that.
Well, yeah. So actually a few of us were like involved in the coaching stuff. Like we just got to talk to the AD, and like, we didn't really have that big of a say, I think, but like the AD kind of took our opinions about it. So I was like, I know this guy, like I think he can do a good job here. But I don't know how much that actually factored into the decision, but
right.
I was excited when he got the job too, just because, especially in college, because you don't know who you can get. So I think it's honestly a benefit anytime you get to know your coach.
Yeah. Well, I told Coach Horner that he took the job because you were there. So at least it sounds like it's mutual then. I'm like, oh, you took the job just because Turner was there and you didn't get it finished the way you wanted to. And
well, I tell everyone that I got him the job. That's not that.
I was going to say, I like your story better. I like that.
Yeah, that's great. What was the biggest, I guess we keep talking about transitions, but what was the biggest transition from Coach Foster to Coach Horner?
The big thing was, so defense was big because like Horner is just more of a defensive coach and Foster's more of an offensive coach. So the big difference was like the emphasis on defense, and then on the flip side, offensively, we switched to more ball screens rather than just like a pure motion. Mm-hmm. So there's just kind of learning more of that stuff versus a motion.
Yeah, which is good for a point guard. Have the ball in your hands, get to make a couple more decisions. So we're on sophomore year. How did that go? A little bit better year for you. Looks like from stats and stuff like that. What do you remember about that year?
It was just an up and down year for the whole team, just because with the coaching change, it wasn't a, like we took a step back. I think we finished eighth in conference, And like, it was the first year at the end of the year where everyone was like, let's get this year over with, that I've like ever been a part of. So it was weird, because like usually you're always like, can't wait to like play the next game. You're like, I think we can win this game. I think we can win this game. And that year we just weren't, like, we weren't good enough. And I think it was just the adjustment of everything too. And then also we didn't really have the players for Horner's system yet either. It's like, we just, it took a year to kind of humble us too, to kind of figure out how to win with that system. So.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes it takes a little bit. I mean, obviously mentioning the coaching change, but you know, from the system that they bring in too. Yeah. I mean, it's, you have these players who have been playing under Coach Foster for, you know, 2-3 years and used to that. And it's a big adjustment for sure. Let's move on to next year. I guess quick overall question. How did your role change from, you know, freshman year, sophomore year, junior year? You know, obviously it seems like you become more of a focal point of the offense, but how would you think in your mind, how did your role change?
I think every year I've kind of taken a step up too, but yeah, I mean, freshman year was mostly just to come in and then kind of get the offense going, play, like, I was a pretty good defender, so play good defense. And then honestly, it's just kind of like trying to be the point guard to the team and then being that guy that can play like a 4-year starter that kind of by the end of it would know everything. I think it kind of shows in my career too, though. It's just like every year took the next role, but sophomore year still, like, I don't think I ever became one of the top players, like a top 2 or 3 player until maybe this year. Cause we just always had guys that I felt were better than me. So
your junior year, you had a kid that could really score it, right? Didn't you have a kid that scored it?
NBA right now.
I was going to say, that's right.
Was that Broderick? Yeah. Was that Broderick that you mentioned? Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, Broderick was the best player on our team. And then we had Cade McKnight. And then even my first year, we had Zach Fisher. So, like, we had these all-conference picks. So, like, I was kind of just in there to, like, I knew those were our dudes and that I just need to kind of find a way and find my role within them.
Yeah, you know, I feel that's a great role to play and a great mindset to have, especially if you're a point guard on those teams, man. It's like you have these point guards that are like, hey, I'm not playing well if I score. You know, those aren't typically the best point guards, but sounds like you kind of gelled or molded into your role well. And so junior year, you know, obviously we started talking about it, but how did that year end? And what were your thoughts after that year?
So junior year was the COVID year though. So we had a really successful year. So we won conference, share of conference regular season title, won conference tournament. And I think we were the 2 seed in our region going into the national tournament. And then from an individual perspective, I dislocated my shoulder two or three times that like in gameplay. So like, I wasn't quite healthy. So like I ended up wearing a shoulder brace junior year. And by the end of the year, like I wasn't the offensive threat I thought I could have been, but I was out there. So, but I mean, it was a year that I thought like we like had a shot at making the Elite Eight for sure. And then D2, I feel like you never know what's going to happen there. Cause honestly, you might get matched up with Northwest Missouri and they're obviously really, really tough to beat. So you kind of never know what happens. But like, once you make it to the Elite Eight, I feel like every other school you kind of have a chance to beat.
So was it junior year that then my guy Luke Tierhark showed up on campus? Yeah. Or how did that work out?
Luke came junior year. So, and Luke was great to have. Like, he was just, all the guys loved him. He knew the game too, so it was pretty easy to plug in. And then obviously he was a senior at that point too, so he just had good leadership.
Got a shout out to him too for hooking us up, making this happen. So I wanted to make sure we touched on that. But so then senior year, hold on before you get to that, I guess. So junior year, was it cut short, or remind me what the timeline looked like with COVID and when that lines up with your season and things being shut down?
Yeah. So we won conference tournament, and then basically you take like 3 days and then you're traveling to the national tournament or to regionals basically. And we were on our way to regionals, got halfway to Indy, and then had to turn our bus around because we got the call that it was canceled. So like we were literally on our way.
Yeah. And at that point, you just obviously don't know what the heck's going on. You know, all these NBA games, all these conference tournaments are getting canceled. And obviously a year later, you honestly still, yeah, we don't know a whole lot about what's going on sometimes, but well, so obviously unfortunate in there, but you have one more year before the season. What was the team mindset? What was the coach's mindset about, you know, hey, are we going to be able to play this year? And then how did that play into, you know, practice time and stuff like that?
Yeah, when we first got back on campus, it was a little, like, it was just awkward, to be honest, because, like, we weren't allowed to access our gym. We couldn't even access our locker room. So, like, we had guys that were sneaking into the locker room to, like, get shoes to go play outdoors. And we actually, like, got in trouble for playing outdoors at one of the parks. So, wow. We were just, like, in the fall just trying to, like, make it work, you know, like, find anywhere to play that we could. But it was such a weird year with just the organization of everything, too. But at the end of the day, we got to play. So that was cool.
Yeah. And played pretty well. Overall 20-3, 18-1 in conference, it looks like. And, you know, had some W's against some really good teams. So what do you guys say about last year? Obviously successful, but, you know, what were your thoughts overall?
This my senior year.
Yep.
Thoughts overall was just like being my last year too. It's honestly just grateful that it got to go the way it did. And that, I mean, it's the farthest Truman's been in a while. So it's just all good memories. And honestly, just glad I got to spend it with, like, especially like all my teammates, but in particular, like the upperclassmen, because I've been with those guys for 4 or 5 years. So that was just a lot of fun.
Yep. And so obviously I'm assuming one conference, in conference tournament, who did you play down in conference tournament?
So we had a bad conference tournament. We lost to Indy first round, and they were the 8 seed. And actually, they were the 9 seed, but one team dropped out because of COVID. So, like, they got bumped down to 8. So we lost that one right away, which actually, looking back on it, might have been a blessings in disguise too, because we kind of got a rest up.
That's true. What and then so you're on the national tournament. Is that a seeding, you know, like the NCAA tournament, or explain the selection process about that?
So I guess, so most of the listeners too probably know what it's like for D1. So I'll just kind of break down what it's like for D2. So D1 split into 4 regions, D2 split into 8 regions, and like D1, it doesn't really matter what region for you are. So like if you're a West Coast team, you could be sent to the East region, but D2, like, you're in your region. So like our region was, I believe we were the central region. So in a normal year, you get 8 teams from each region. So this year we got 6 because of COVID. But so basically there's 2 or 3 conferences in each region. So like our region, we were with the GLIAC, and normally we're with the GMAC, but this year they split us up just because there were less teams playing and everything. So we were with the GLIAC. So basically, the GLVC did pretty well because I think we got 3 teams in, but there were some upsets in the tournaments, in conference tournaments. So I feel like we were pretty clear the number 1 seed just because everyone else had, I think Southern Indy was next with 4 losses, and then everyone else had like 6. So like we were pretty clear number 1 despite the conference tournament loss. Mm-hmm. And then Michigan Tech got the 2 seed. And they were just always one of the top teams in the GLIAC. They lost in the conference championship, but there was an upset in their tournament. So there's 2 upsets in the 2 regional tournaments or 2 conference tournaments for the regional. So there was like a 5 and a 6 that like wouldn't have gotten in otherwise.
Huh. Gotcha. Yeah, so with the first game, you draw Ashland University. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that game, you know, going into it? Obviously, you know, with your record and just taking a brief look at their record, you know, it seems like you guys were a better team. What do you remember about that game?
Yeah. I don't remember much, honestly, because that's just the time of the year too, where things go by so fast and like one game after another, even though we only played 2 games in the regional. But mm-hmm. I mean, they were a tough team because they had some guards that were pretty good. I remember watching film. There were 2 guys that we were pretty worried about. And then the rest of the guys, we felt like we'd be fine with, and it was the point guard and then their 4-man. But yeah, I mean, we played pretty well that game too, because I think we ended up winning by about 20, which we made shots that game too, so that always helps, makes things easier on everyone.
I was gonna say 19 point victory in the first round, and wonder I don't remember a whole lot about it.
On the bench most of the time. And the next game, you know, you already mentioned them, but Michigan Tech, you mentioned they were really good. Had the win there, or I guess got the W there too, but I'm assuming you remember that game a little bit more.
Yeah, I do. And that they're a motion team. So I personally, I love playing motion teams just because, like, being in Foster's system for 2 years, I feel like I don't really have to prep for it defensively at all, because it's, you just know how to guard it, and you know, like, how to switch and make sure you're connected with everyone and talking. But so I wasn't too worried about it going in, but that team, they played so well together, and they had the GLIAC player of the year was on that team, Owen White, and he gave it to us for a bit. So, but I think we started the game up about 10 to 15, and then to start the second half, it might have been a 23-4 run in favor of Michigan Tech. So just like that, we were down 10. So it was just a crazy game. And it was one of those things, like, it was just up and down the whole way, and we found a way to win it towards the end. And something that really helped with us that game was there was a flagrant 2 foul called on one of our guys because he got hit in the nuts, actually. And they went to the monitor, reviewed it, kicked the kid out, and he was their starting 5 man. And so our best players are 5. So, like, that, I mean, literally that lost in the game, because we just fed Cade the rest of the game and they couldn't stop him.
Wow. Yeah, I remember I was watching the score of that game, and, you know, the first time I checked, I think you guys were up 10 or 15. And then the second time I checked, you guys were down. And then I checked again, and it was towards the end, and you guys obviously had the lead there too. But that's what you got to do, you know, survive in advance in the playoffs or the tournament, right? And so then advanced to the Elite Eight, am I right, against Flagler University? What do you remember about that game?
I mean, they had the best player on the floor, and that's what it came down to. I can't even remember his name, but he was number 4, and he was an All-American, but he was a D1 bounce back from Little Rock, and he was the best player on the floor. Like, he kind of cooked me individually too, so I got some of that. But
looks like he had 29.
It felt like a lot. So, but I felt like we were a better team. They just had, I mean, you know, with basketball, if you have the best player on the court, sometimes it doesn't even matter what your teammates do. So, and he was the best player on the court. So that's how that game went. But still, the whole way, like, I felt like we had plays that we could have made to seal the game, and we just didn't make those plays. And that's just sometimes how it goes.
Yeah. Well, and it looked like it was close, one point game, and so it obviously came down to the last second, and unfortunately came up on the short end. And so, horn sounds. What do you remember as far as and kind of taking in some of the thoughts and the feelings? All right, this run, this career, this everything that I've been doing, like you said, to start the pod since kindergarten, is now coming to an end. Where was a sense of relief, sense of unknown, sense of just confusion, or what do you remember about the last horn going off?
I think it wasn't a sense of relief, but it was like, I was pretty calm. I was like, I knew, because at this point too, I was like, we've made a run, like, this has been a really successful year for us, so, like, all things considered, it went really well. And honestly, I was just like ready to relax a little. And then I didn't even tear up or anything, but, like, talking to some of, like, my team, like, the other seniors and stuff like that, that's kind of when you almost start to get a little emotional. But it was like, man, like, this was fun. It's been a great time. Like, I love playing with you guys. But yeah, it was almost just time to relax, and, like, we did it. We're done.
Yeah. And I agree with you. Obviously, that camaraderie and hanging out with the guys is kind of the thing that always gets you the most, because that's where the emotion and the buy-in and those relationships that you form are at. Obviously, it's just a game. It's a game we love. It has provided a lot. And so it just kind of comes with it. But so what's next? So what's the future look like? We talked a little off air. Obviously, there's life after basketball. It sounds like you've already actually graduated, working towards a potential master's. We'll see how that road ends. But what's the career path now, and what are you looking for here when once school lets out?
Yeah. So I'm going to more school. I'm looking to pursue physical therapy. So I'm attending Regis, which is out in Denver next year, and it's a 3-year program. So unfortunately I got more school, but I'm looking forward to it at the same time.
That's good. Yeah. We wish you the best. Obviously it was fun to kind of follow you obviously during high school when you were around here, but you know, in the next level, down there in Missouri with our guy Chris and Horner as well. So well, hey, we appreciate your time, Returner. We want to get you out of here in a timely manner. We like to end our podcast with a little section we call Rapid Fire. Brian's going to hit you with a couple questions, some about basketball, some about not, and you just tell us the first thing that pops into mind.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man. First one that we always lead with, what's your favorite visiting gym that you get to play in?
Probably Drury, which, yeah, shout out Chris Foster now because he's the coach there, but they got a great gym.
That's a good one. Well, obviously new to the list that we have going here from guests. All right, so right now, you head over to the facility. Who's going to make more free throws in a row, you or Coach Horner?
I mean, I'm going to go with me, but I haven't touched a ball in a week, too. So.
That's all right. It's still a good answer. I like it. So, favorite sports movie?
Probably The Blind Side.
Good one. Also new to the pod. We like that.
Very new.
All right. So talking hoops here, a little bit different generation than maybe some of the guests we've had on. Who's the GOAT? Who's the greatest of all time?
I'm a LeBron guy, but like I didn't study Jordan, so like I can see how people think it's him, and I get the whole debate.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's partially why I asked, because I want different generations, man.
I think he's our first LeBron answer, isn't he?
He might be. He might be.
I like that. I like that.
Favorite basketball shoe?
Shoe. Oh, Kobe, for sure. Any of the Kobes. Which we switched to Under Armour this year, and they're trash.
No, we would agree, or I would agree for sure on that. Adam might be a little indifferent on that, but apparel wise they do fine. Their shoes are trash, but I liked Kobe 6 specifically, if we really are putting a number on them. Okay, going back to impact/high school days, who's most likely to listen to this podcast? Is Pete Economist going to listen to this, or John Reardon?
I'd say Pete.
Yeah, he's probably more of a basketball junkie than John is.
A little more plugged into basketball than John.
John just wants to go out and hurt somebody. So, but all right. So, best place or best spot, Adam and I get a chance to come down to Kirksville to catch a game. Where do we got to go eat before we head over to the arena?
Got to go to probably Duke 'em Inn.
Okay, what's a good thing on the menu over there?
I mean, you can probably just get their cheeseburger, go with the classics. But honestly, there's a lot of good food in Kirksville, which kind of surprised me when I came down.
That's great. No, we love it. We should have done our journalistic research and remember what Coach Horner said. Didn't we ask him the same question, Adam? I can't remember what he said.
I think he did.
Yeah. I bet he said Woody's.
He actually, he said Duke 'em Inn.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's unanimous then on the pod. Yep. We know where we're going. All right, bud. Last one here, and then we'll get you out of here. We appreciate your time. But what are you going to remember the most about being a Bulldog down there at Truman State?
Probably just my friends and teammates. Like, because that's at the end of it, that's what it comes down to. So, and that's who you spend your time with.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest thing that we say with this game of basketball is those relationships that you build, the ones that are lasting and the ones that will come back around and all that. So we appreciate it, Turner, jumping on with us, sharing a little bit of your story. Like I said, I'm excited for our listeners to be able to reminisce a little bit of your path. And we appreciate you taking some time and wish you all the best as you head out to Denver.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Like Brian said, we appreciate your time. You got a lot of stuff going on with the end of the semester here, so really appreciate it. And as usual, we appreciate you, our listeners. If you like what you hear, we love a 5-star rating wherever you catch your podcast. You can catch us anywhere on social media. On Facebook, search Shooters Touch. Twitter and Instagram at Shooters Touch IA, and on our brand new website, shooterstouchpodcast.com. And always remember, shooters shoot.
Thanks again for listening to the Shooters Touch podcast. We really appreciate your support. Now I'd like to take a quick second and talk about the real estate market. As you probably know, it is an absolute sweepstakes out there. Right now we have listings that are selling anywhere between $10,000, $15,000, even $20,000 over asking. Interest rates are low, inventory is even lower. And so if you've thought about selling or buying or getting into an investment property, I'd love to talk with you a little bit more about the process and maybe ways in which that you can take advantage of the current market. I'm at WB Realty. Hit me up at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, at WBRealty.com.